Our gospel lesson is found in the gospel according to Luke. I'll be reading from the fifth chapter, beginning at verse 1. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out to them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for the catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the net." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats ashore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Several years ago, might even be longer than that, I think, the singer Beth Midler sang a song entitled "From a Distance." I don't know how many of you know that song or maybe remember it. It spoke about how God's perspective at a distance, from a distance, the world looks blue and green, the ocean meets the stream, and there's harmony that speaks with the voice of hope and peace of every person. It's a beautiful song that attempts to convey that from a distance, the conflict, violence, oppression, and pain that exists in our own country and in countries around the world can't be seen from God's vantage point. The song challenges us to see a bigger picture than the tribal ones by which we exist, and that is a worthy challenge, I believe, for all of us. But where I believe the song got it wrong is that God is not off at a distance, impassive and unaware of the ways in which humanity cannot and does not live in love. When we read the scriptures, we understand that God sees the good, the bad, and the ugly. God sees the ways we affirm each other's humanity, especially during times of crises. And God sees the ways we deny each other's humanity, especially during our greatest fears. God hears our laughter and joy and expressions of love and support, and God hears our cries of humanity. Cries of suffering and sorrow and rage and terror. God knows. God knows it all. The scripture reminds us that no one's life is an expendable pawn in the grand scheme of things. For every person was created by the one who knows our name and our stories, and whose very breath has given us life. Every person is precious to the Lord, our Creator, and God is not passively watching us from a distance. Instead, according to the scriptures, the Lord acts and moves time and time and time again by calling men and women into his service so that through our lives the light and love and will of God might be made known to all of humanity. But what does it mean when Jesus Christ puts a call on our lives? What does it mean when Christ says, "Follow me"? What does it mean when God says, "Whom shall I send?" and then sends us? It means that we are meant to live for more than just ourselves. It means that Jesus has a purpose for our lives and that we are called to be a part of God's work of reconciling the world to himself. Now that's a pretty intense challenge, especially given the world that we live in. But it can also be quite daunting on a personal level, because who are we? Who am I? Who are you that the Lord should call us at all? All of us have our sins to bear. And when we compare it to the sins of our neighbors, it may or may not seem as bad as anyone else's. But when we stand in the presence of God and are compared to God's holiness, we find ourselves unworthy. It reminds me of a time I had just a while back, one summer, when I went into my closet and I pulled out a bright yellow blouse. It looked perfectly fine in the closet next to all of my other blouses. And so here I put it on and I'm all dressed to go, and I step outside. And in the brilliance of the sun, I saw the stain on the front of my blouse. Now, it must have been there the whole time. It couldn't have just appeared. But here it was in the sun. I see what was there all along. And in that moment, I became conscious of it and aware that I now had to go back inside to take it off and change. Well, there are these moments when we become conscious of the stains that sin has created in our lives. And often it happens when we encounter the presence of God. In those moments, we are convicted. Convicted of our sin and our guilt, and realize just how far away we are from what God is calling us to be. That is what happened to the prophet Isaiah, who had a vision of himself standing in the presence of God as the angels sang, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of your glory." Isaiah became aware of how unclean his lips and his neighbor's lips were just at the sound of those words. Words have power. We can use words to build up or to tear down. We can use words to encourage or to destroy, to reconcile or to divide. Words have power. And words also, we use them because they are truly an expression of what is on our hearts. Therefore, standing in the presence of God, Isaiah hears these words and he is convicted by the words that have come out of his mouth. Words that have been unclean. And in those moments, he knows himself sinful. The Apostle Peter was also convicted. Convicted while he was in the presence of Jesus. While the scriptures don't say what struck him, I often think it was the sin of arrogance. You know, there are these times, maybe it might not happen to you, but it happens to me, when I think thoughts and I'm having these conversations in my head, and I just know no one else knows what I'm thinking. I found out that sometimes people do know because I wear it on my face, but that's another story. But nevertheless, here you have the apostle Peter, and this is before he became an apostle, and here he's with Jesus in the boat, and Jesus tells him to cast your net into the water. How easy it would have been for Peter, a lifelong fisherman, who knows all about fishing, to think negatively about Jesus, who does not. What does Jesus know about fishing, after all? Now he's going to make me dirty these nets that I've been spending all morning cleaning? I'll just humor him anyway and throw them over into the water, knowing that nothing's going to happen because we've been fishing all night long and nothing has come. And who knows fishing better than fishermen? And I believe this whole conversation is taking place in Peter's head as he throws the net overboard, and then the net fills up with fish. And it doesn't just fill up with a regular daily catch of fish. It fills up with so much fish that the nets begin to break, and they need more people to help to pull the net in, and now the boats are beginning to capsize. And in that moment, Peter knows God. This is not just any old occurrence. This is a God moment. At the sight of so much fish, Peter is convicted of his sin and his guilt. My brothers and sisters, how many times do we think we know more than everyone else, including God? How many times do we doubt because of what we think rather than believe because of who Christ is? But did you catch this beautiful part of the story? It takes place and it happens both to Isaiah and to Peter, and I believe it happens to us. And the beautiful part of the story is that our past does not disqualify our future with God. Our past does not disqualify our future with God. After Isaiah confesses his sin, the angel comes and touches the coals to his lips, blots out all of his sin. After Peter confesses, Jesus speaks words of comfort and purpose and erases Peter's guilt. After we confess, Christ who died on the cross and sacrificed himself for us erases our sin and it is no more. That is grace. That is grace. But there's something else about grace. There's something else about the cross. There is this wonderful song by Chris Tomlin called Amazing Grace, in which the chorus says, "My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. Through Christ's sacrifice for us, we are awakened to grace in which mercy is freely offered, and love is unending. We are forgiven and we are set free. Set free from the burden of our sin and guilt that, like chains, have bound us up and weighed us down and held us back. And we are set free to live into the fullness of Christ's call upon our lives. God is not passive, but continues to call men and women to join in the work of the disciples who down through the centuries strove to be more loving and more holy and more like Jesus in a world that is broken and hurting, so that others might see the light of Christ in us and experience the love of God through us, and desire to know the Lord because of us. My brothers and sisters, our lives are not our own. We belong to Jesus, who will strengthen and guide and direct our path if we are willing to say yes when He calls. For we have been called to live into this calling that He has placed on our lives for His purpose and His glory and His honor and His alone. And so to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Now and forever. Amen. Let us pray together. Oh, gracious God, we are humbled by Your call upon our lives. For who are we that You should even call us? We pray Your continued forgiveness in the ways we fall short from what it is You are calling us to be in You. And we ask for Your strength and Your guidance and Your courage and Your boldness to live into that calling, that when we leave from this place, O Lord, we truly might reflect Christ in us. We ask this in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen.